Good morning, church family. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. I think it's fitting as we pause to recognize our high school seniors and our college graduates that our passage this day is written by the man John Mark, which, if you guys remember a few weeks ago, as our pastor is walking us through the book of Acts, we saw a man by the name of John Mark who went on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. And you guys remember John Mark didn't do so well in that first journey, lost a little bit of Paul's confidence, but John Mark finished well. He went on to finish faithfully, even to the point to where he earned Paul's favor back. And as Greg helped us see, that God is a God of second chances. And it's fun this morning that we're just going to get to read a portion of Scripture written by that man. It is a good thing. So let's turn to it and let's jump in. Chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. If you guys would stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. Follow along with me. Verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But disciples rebuked him. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I'll tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. You may be seated. I want to do something this morning that's going to involve you. We're going to practice storying this morning. Now, storying is something that's used, you know, we're coming off the heels of our missions banquet, and God is doing some incredible things through our church family all over the globe. And as you'll know, both in your neighborhood, in your workplace, and all over the world, storying is a fantastic way and a powerful way to share God's truth with people around you. In fact, the Bible is full of stories, and so it's just wise that someone said, you know, we just need to tell the stories. Now, when it comes to storying, you don't focus on all the details. You can't always quote the entire scripture. And today's story is actually a short story. It's four verses. You could tell the story of the Bible in a few sentences from Genesis to Revelation. But the point is this. You want to focus on who are the main characters? Was there a turn of events or what happened in the story and how did it end? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read it one more time. And then I want you to pay attention to who's in the story. What happened? Was there a turn of events? And how did it finish? Okay, and then when we finish, I'm going to invite you to share with your neighbor the story. Okay, now you don't have to quote scripture, just in your own words, big picture, just try to share what happened. That's all you're doing. Okay, so let's read it one more time, but pay attention to who's in it, what happened, and how did it end. Okay, here we go, verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. All right, now it's your turn. Pick a neighbor, share with your neighbor, and we'll give you each a chance to go. All right, ready, go. All right, if you haven't had a chance to share it now, take that opportunity now and you try to make sure both people have had a chance. All right, you guys got it down? It's a short story. And if I had to put it in my own words, just short and sweet, I would say it like this. People were bringing children to Jesus. The disciples said no. Jesus said yes, and he welcomed them in his arms. Okay? Now, there's more to the story than that, and just like story, you can always go back to the Bible and help someone fill in the gaps, but at its core, like, this is literally what happened. You know, when you go to the Gospels, a third of Jesus' teaching are in parables. This is not a parable. This is a real-life event that took place, okay? So we know this happened. People were bringing children to Jesus. The disciples said no. Jesus said yes, and he welcomed them in his arms. And I hope and pray that you remember that as we look in detail at this story that took place. Let's look at verse 13. What do we see? Well, the story starts out that people were bringing little children to Jesus to have them touch them, okay, or to bless them. But what do we see happening? We see people were bringing little children to Jesus. Now, you have to understand in this Gospel of Mark that he did a fantastic job of revealing people's responses to the life of Jesus and to who Jesus was as he was here on this earth. And you'll see this word amazed a lot in the Gospel of Mark because people were no doubt amazed at the life of Jesus. In fact, if you flip back to chapter 9, verse 15, one of my favorite verses of the whole book, you see this response. It said, as soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Now, we know that not everyone was so happy with Jesus and what he was doing. Certainly, there were those that the longer he was here on this earth, the more their hatred grew to the point to where they would put him to death on a cross. But certainly, there are those who were amazed. And I think these people who were bringing children to Jesus were certainly in that group. They were amazed. They were in awe. They were in wonder of this man, Jesus. And here's the key part. They were not just concerned with their own spirituality. All right, they weren't just concerned with their spiritual growth. Now, the truth is we're all here in this room today because something in us probably wants to be challenged spiritually, to grow spiritually, and that's a good thing. However, I would say it's incredibly incomplete if we stop there. Right? Because as you're going to see in the life of Jesus, as you see here, as you see the people who follow him, who are amazed by him, you understand that it's not just about you. And so here come these people. And they woke up that day and said, you know what? We're going to take these little children to Jesus so that he can bless them. They wanted and they were concerned about the spiritual well-being of those around them. In this case, it was little children. But remember that as we go through the story. They weren't just concerned with their own spiritual growth. They were bringing little children. Now think about this. I don't know the specific ages of these little children, but I picture... You know, we've got four children. Hallie's our oldest. She's seven. And then we have three boys. They're 5, 3, and 1. I don't picture a one-year-old in this scenario, but I do picture like 3 to 7, 3 to 9. I don't know. I picture little kids running around, right? I picture that age. Now, how many of you know that kids can make some noise? They can be quite loud. In fact, we had dinner with some family in town last night. And that got interesting real quick. And in fact, Brooke's uncle said, do y'all go out to eat much? No, we don't. No, we don't. But children, man, they're awesome. I love kids. They're funny. They're awesome. They can make noise. I picture these little kids like this. Little kids that, can you imagine for a moment? I think this is healthy to do. This is a short story. We don't get all the details. But there were real people who woke up and said, man, we want to take these little children to Jesus. Let's do that today. And then there were these little kids who got that news when they woke up in the morning, who got the news that they were going to see Jesus. And you have to keep in mind that verse 9:15, that's just kind of a theme of what's been happening, what John Mark wanted everyone to see, that people were amazed at Jesus. So it was a big deal to be around him. Sometimes we lose sight of that. But the things he was saying, the things he was doing, just his very presence, people were in awe and people wanted to be around him. Which means that when the kids got the news that they were going to see Jesus, what do you think their response was? You know, how many of you know that kids, like in that age range, I don't know, you know, 3 to 10 kind of thing, that they can get really, really excited when something fun's about to go down? You know that, right? You tell them something's about to happen and it's singing and dancing and spontaneous, they're just jumping, and that's what happens. And I kind of picture that. I kind of picture that on the journey there, it probably got a little loud, and people in the streets watching them go by are like, what is going on? You know, they're awfully excited about something. And they were. They were getting to go see Jesus. Now, what happened next in the story? Well, as you see there in verse 13, people were bringing them, but the disciples rebuked them. Now, this is the turning point in the story when you go from something happy and exciting to something not so happy. It says the disciples rebuked them, which begs the question in my mind, why? Why would the disciples, seeing these children, I'm picturing them running, being loud, down the street, getting really excited. I'm sure at one point they saw Jesus and they started really getting excited. And probably one of them looked at somebody, you know, they get that look in the eye like, I'm going to beat you there. And they probably took off running. And here come the disciples rebuking them. Why? How many of you know that Satan is a liar and has been from the beginning? From the very beginning when he whispered the words to Adam and Eve, did God really say? He's been lying from the beginning, and I think there's a lie that the disciples almost get caught in right here. And it is the lie that the gospel is not for everyone. This is a key critical truth, a key lie that Satan would love for the disciples to buy into, the lie that the gospel is not for everyone. And can you imagine these children who woke up really, really happy and excited to get the news that they were going to be blessed by Jesus and that Jesus was going to get to hold them that day? And upon arrival and probably seeing Jesus and Jesus within reach, they get stopped. And you see what happens with a lie, it begins to bring heartbreak and sadness. Because what happens next? Well, it's verse 14 says, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He was highly displeased. He was righteously angry. Why? Well, because he knows the truth that the gospel is for everyone. And so it makes sense that he would be highly upset that someone is coming into the picture and trying to communicate to people that they are not fit to be with Jesus. That's what's happening. Jesus was highly upset. He was angry. I think, notice when it says that he saw this, I think that Jesus saw the situation happen. You know, we try to describe, you know, what was taking place when these kids were being brought to Jesus and the noise they were making and the spontaneous joy that they had as they came to him. And I think as it says, when Jesus saw this, I think he saw that, and then he saw his disciples step in and say, no, you can't come to Jesus. Which is why his response was that of anger. So what does he say? He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. This statement in this instance was literally saying, let these children come to me and do not hinder them. In other words, he was correcting his disciples because they were missing it. But it's such a bigger picture than that. It's Jesus' proclamation that literally the gospel is for everyone. And guys, you can't stop people who want to come to me from coming to me. The gospel is for all. That statement is so awesome and it's so profound when he says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Jesus wants them to understand. I wonder sometimes when we read the story in Acts and they're trying to decide about the Gentiles. You think somebody remembered this story? Maybe. It's pretty significant. The disciples thought they were doing what was right. Jesus corrects them, proclaiming that the gospel is for all. It's for these children. Then he says two things that had to get their attention. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And then as Jesus does, and I like it when he does this, if he has something he really wants his disciples to understand, he makes one statement, and then he makes a follow-up statement to really lock in what he's communicating. So he says, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Verse 15, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. What is he communicating? Well, I think it's two things. When he says the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, he's referring to the children. He reiterates that in verse 15 by saying, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Two things at place, okay? We talked about it, man. Kids are awesome. They're funny. They can be loud. But how many of you know they ain't perfect either? Right? Jesus knows that. So how can they enter it? Why is it becoming like a little child? Well, here's what kids do really well. They know how to accept a gift. And something happens the older we get where we lose sight of this and we feel like we got to earn everything. But you take a little child and you give them a gift, is there any question whether or not they're going to receive that gift or not? There might be the possibility that they don't thank you enough. It's just, but they're going to take the gift. They'll do it. Is it not true that the way to God is through the gift of Jesus Christ and there's no other way? It is a gift of God. This is a pattern. This is a theme that we've seen through the entire book. Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you've been saved, through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works so that none should boast. I was talking with a young gentleman this past week on Arkansas Tech University. Many of you guys are going to be there. I'm excited about that. So we asked the question, one of my favorite questions I feel like is effective for this part of the world. You know, we spent time in Toronto. We go to San Diego. This doesn't work everywhere. But here, this tends to be a very effective question. And that's asked, hey, what percentage chance do you think you have of going to heaven today? And this young man said, he thought about it and he said, you know, 75%. I'm 75% sure that I'm going to go to heaven. And then I asked a follow-up question. I said, well, hey, what do you think is that 25% that's holding you back? And he thought about it, and he said, well, I get angry sometimes, and the words that I speak aren't right. You know, I speak out of anger, and it's not good. I said, man, I appreciate you sharing that. That's tough. I said, what if I told you that sometimes I do the same thing? But I'm 100% sure that I'm going to heaven. What would you think about that? And he just didn't know what to think about it. So we go to the good news of the kingdom, of the gospel, and this gift in Romans 6:23, where it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I ask him the question, okay, let me ask you this. If you could get a hold of your anger and the words that you speak, what you're telling me is that if you do that and you get control of that, that that would seal up that 25% that you're short right now. Is that what you're saying? And you could be flawless in it. You never speak another harsh word or whatever's in his mind when he thinks bad stuff coming out of his mouth. It never happens again. Does that take you to 100? And then I asked him this. I said, if that worked, would that be a wage or a gift? And he thought about it. And then he said, well, I guess that'd be a wage. Yeah, it would be. And this is the beauty of the gospel. And I'll tell you here this morning, if you were to honestly answer the question, what percentage chance do I have of going to heaven? If it's anything other than 100%, one of two things have happened. And it doesn't matter the percentage. Either you do not know God and have never received the gift of God in Jesus Christ, or you have, and somewhere along the line, Satan lied to you and made you think that you got to earn your way back. That's what happened with this young man. And as we talked and as he understood the difference between a wage and a gift, he realized, I asked him, what side of the bridge are you on? He said, man, I'm over here with God. I said, okay, well, what happens when later today something makes you real mad and you mess up with your words? What does that do to your percentage? And he thought about it. He said, well, you could tell he hadn't really, he was thinking. He wanted to say, I think it stays the same, but it was weird for him to say that. He said, I don't think it changes. I said, you're right. It doesn't change, man. It's a gift of God. But always and always, when someone says something other than 100%, you ask them the question, what's holding you back? It's either something they are doing or something they are not doing. And if it takes doing something or not doing something to get to the kingdom of God, that is not a gift. Which is why Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. These who can receive the gift of me. I think there's something else at play when Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. I think this is also at play. How many of those children do you think when the parents or the people said, hey, we're going to take you to Jesus today so he can bless you, so you can be with Jesus, he can hold you. How many of them do you think, you know, I don't know if that's such a good idea today. I got other things I got to do. Or, you know, I was really disobeying mom and dad earlier. I don't know if I feel good enough to go to Jesus. I don't think so. I think these kids heard the invitation, and I think they got really excited, and I think it was clear all the way to Jesus, up until the moment where the disciples rebuked him. I think it takes understanding that you have nothing to offer to God, and there's nothing you can do to earn his favor and to earn his way to him. It is a gift, and at some point, you just got to accept it and run to him. Tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. What happens next in the story? Verse 16, and he took the children in his arms and he put his hands on them and he blessed them. Again, I'm picturing the scene. I'm picturing the story. And I'm picturing these kids getting the news and the people who wanted to take them to Jesus. And I'm picturing these children being really, really close to Jesus and becoming heartbroken probably at the fact that maybe, just maybe, they aren't fit to be with Jesus. And Satan trying to implant that lie that the kingdom of God is not for you. Jesus doing what he does best. When he says he's the way, the truth, and the life, how many of you know that Jesus always exposes lies? He is the truth. And he exposes that lie at its core right here. In verse 16, this is the best part of the story. He takes them in his arms. He puts his hands on them and he blesses them. What do you think it was like for those children? In fact, you could argue that they might have had more joy, more just peace, more excitement that they are now in the arms of Jesus, having been almost halted from doing so. Their heartbreak turned to joy. So my question for us this morning is, which are you? In this story, which are you? Are you the people that are trying to bring others to Jesus? What is it that gets us to consider someone else's spiritual growth than our own? Why would we plant a church on the campus of Arkansas Tech University? I mean, we could keep doing what we're doing here, right? But why do that? Because we care about the spiritual growth of other people. And the people who right now, by the way, you're going to show up to Tech with. I know a lot of you are going there. They're not going to be connected with Jesus. Or they're going to be like this young man. I asked him. I said, so are you here on the weekends? He said, yeah, I'm here every weekend. I said, are you connected to any church? No. I said, hey, man, we're actually planning a church this fall. It's going to be September the 9th. We're going to have the first service. Man, would you like to come to that? And he instantly was like, man, okay, yeah, I'd like to come to that. We do these things because we care about those around us and not only our own spiritual growth, but the spiritual growth of your neighbors, of the people you work with. Are we concerned with that? Are we those people? And if not, why not? Are we the disciples who, by the way, these disciples were in the right place and they were with the right person, and yet they were missing it entirely? Did you know that's possible? These guys were in the right place. They are with Jesus and they are missing it. They are about to buy into the lie that the gospel is not for everyone. Certainly not these little children. Is that us? Is there anything in our life that is hindering others from coming to Jesus? That's a good question to be asking ourselves right now. Because it is possible. And just sitting in the seats in here doesn't prevent you from doing so. So are there things in our lives that are hindering others from coming to know Jesus? We got to ask that question. Because guess what happened? Jesus corrected. He rebuked those disciples. They thought they were doing what's right. Jesus says, no. You guys missed it. The gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for all. Or are you the children who just need to run to Jesus? How many of you know that we proclaim that the gospel is for everyone, and Jesus himself proclaimed that? It's for all people, first of all. Jesus, earlier in this gospel, chapter 1, when he says the kingdom of God is near, believe the good news, right? He has arrived. What happened early on when the townspeople were like, Jesus, stay with us, Jesus, please? What happened? He said, listen, I've got to go to the other towns and villages. That's why I've come. And when they ridiculed and mocked Jesus for hanging out with tax collectors and sinners, what was his response? It's not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. The life of Jesus is marked by one who proclaims that I'm going to live this life to expose as many people and everyone to the gospel. And this is a beautiful instance in which some children are coming to Jesus, and the disciples, thinking they're doing what's right, are saying, no, this is not for you. And how many people, both believers and non-believers, do we know that have hurts, habits, hang-ups, baggage? We all got it, because for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that doesn't stop the day we come to know Jesus. We all struggle with it. And how many times in our struggle do we fear or have doubts about bringing that to Jesus? Thoughts like, you're not good enough to be with Jesus right now. Who are you to go to Jesus? All lies. All lies that Jesus, in his truth, exposes. The gospel is for everyone. It's for all people. It's for people in El Salvador. It's for people here in your neighborhoods. It's for people living down the street from our good friend Dale Huntington and Brandon George and Jeremy Ayette. It's for Southeast Asia. It's for Kenya, it's for Guinea, it's for Italy, it's for London, and all the places God has opened up a door for us to partner with, the Middle East, if I didn't say that one. It's for everyone. And part of that everyone is always and forever us. It's for me. And there'll never come a day, students, I promise you, there will never come a day that you don't need to run to the arms of Jesus. And some people could care less about other spiritual people's growth of other people because they themselves have forgotten to run to Jesus. I've heard somebody say once, preach the gospel to yourself daily. This is what they're saying. We all need the gospel every single day. And as we embrace it for ourselves, you know what happens? God propels us to other people. He opens up our eyes to those that we might bring to Jesus. But are there lies that are hindering you from coming to Jesus? And oh, by the way, if you're trying to bring other people to Jesus, guess what? There'll be something to try to hinder you. Whether it's you or someone else, there will always be something to try to hinder you from coming to him. So don't be surprised. What will be your response? Are you willing to run to Jesus? If you're in this room and you aren't sure, you honestly could say, I don't know if I'm 100% sure. I've been there. That is not a fun place to be. But as Jesus said, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. It is a gift that we don't earn, and that's a beautiful thing. Greg showed us a passage not that long ago, Galatians 2:21. It says, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. And so there's nothing we do or don't do to get there. It's a gift. Have you received the gift? If you're here and you do know Jesus, what's holding you back from running to him and letting him take you in his arms, put his hands on you and bless you? Man, what a beautiful picture. And here's a cool promise. Jesus always welcomes those who run to him. He always does. Got a unique invitation today that I want to invite you guys to be a part of. We printed some stickers up. All right, you guys remember the theme of our missions banquet, a theme that we see that Greg showed us in Acts. This is the theme of the Bible, right? That the gospel's for everyone. Okay, so we took that little logo, we made some stickers. It's just a sticker. But here's what I love about this. It is a reminder. How many of you know that God knows how forgetful we are? He knows that. Why do you think he repeats so many of the same things in Scripture? He knows we forget things. And sometimes it's good to have reminders. The gospel is for everyone. So I'm going to lay these out here. And I want to invite you, as the invitation starts, I want to invite you just to come up and take one. You can put it on your car. You can put it on your computer. You can put it anywhere. But my challenge for you is that you put it somewhere. You can put one in your Bible. You got options. But I think, I don't know about you guys, but this is one truth that I never want to forget all my life. That the gospel is always and forever. It's for me. And every day of my life, I need the gospel. There's not a day that goes by I don't need the gospel. I need it. I need him today. I need him every day. And can I just tell you that sometimes I forget that. And then there's times that I forget that it's not just about me. It's about bringing the people around me in my life to Jesus. And the gospel is awesome. And it's worth us giving our all to. I don't know where you are today, but I know this is a sweet, sweet story that is a simple reminder of what we're meant to do with our lives, that Jesus is passionate about making sure everyone knows that the gospel is for all people. At the end of the story, who's standing there waving palm branches saying salvation belongs to the Lord our God? Who is it? It's a representative from every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every language. All people. And so it's a twofold reminder. It's a reminder for you and I, and it's a reminder that we would always never forget that it's not just for us, it's for all people. So as Robert leads us and invites us, I want you to come up and you guys grab a sticker. If you need to talk to us about knowing Jesus, or you want to get baptized, you want to join this church fellowship, you come talk to us. But the invitation is open now.